Good morning. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's February 15th, a couple minutes after 9 a.m. 2008, with me as my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, and Senator Dyson should be joining us on Monday. And myself, Senator Stedman. We have one item on the agenda today, Senate Bill 240. It's education funding. The intent here is to have a presentation on the bill, take some public testimony. We'll be holding this bill, not taking action. We have with us today Senator Gary Stevens, if he can come forward to the hot seat, and he'll enlighten us on what's in this bill. And then we have some backup support from the administration, along with Ledge Finance, if we have any questions that are unsurmountable to Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if Tim Lankin would come forward, Tim is on my staff. He's been working with me on this. And I guess to sort of set the stage here, Mr. Chairman, this is a consensus piece of legislation that that several people around this table had a hand in, and I'm glad to present it to you, but of course it's the result of the Joint Legislative Education Funding Task Force, and this is the primary piece of legislation to come out of that task force. There are several other pieces that are making their way through the legislature in various ways, but this, I think, is probably the most important part and the most significant part. It is making it through the other body and is in House Finance at this point as well. So basically, this is the priority recommendation of the Joint Legislative Funding Task Force that met through the summer. And it serves to fund education and offer major changes to the foundation, the funding formula. I really can't stress how much this was a matter of compromise and collaboration. Everyone worked together to achieve the major points that it accomplishes, and I think it's very difficult to look at one piece of it and take it out and change it without changing the other pieces. So I guess what I'm sort of presenting to you is the importance that this sort of all hangs together. It was all a part of enormous compromise and collaboration on the part of everyone who was involved. So specifically, Mr. Chairman, what Senate Bill 240 does is really four major issues, and I'll sort of run through each of those four things, each extremely important. The first thing it does is to deal with those districts that have had significant decreases in enrollment, and it allows a step-down funding mechanism for those school districts so that all of a sudden they're not faced with a substantive decline in enrollment and having to lay off teachers and change their expenses in a matter of a few weeks. So this gives them a period of time to do that. The second thing it has to do with is intensive services, students that have special needs, and we found that multiplier that we've used over the years, which has been five times the BSA, has simply been inadequate. That there are districts that face enormous costs, intensive services. We had a principal during the course of our hearings this summer, a principal from an elementary school in Anchorage, who indicated that he had a student, intensive needs student, who required two teachers, two aides, and a special classroom. So, as you can see, enormous costs, which are no way reflected fairly in the five times the BSA that we have been providing. So, Mr. Chairman, what this does is to increase that multiplier for intensive needs services from five times the BSA, which we have now, over the next 3 years, to nine times, 11 times, and 13 times. So you can see there's a progression in intensive services. That's the second thing the bill does. The third thing has to do with the district cost factor, and as you know, that's been of enormous importance to districts throughout the state, and what that has to do with, of course, is equitable funding of education, acknowledging the costs of educating a child in a distant location as compared to a more reasonable cost location. So this is the ICER study that we have spent a great deal of time talking about, and what it does is phase in that ICER study regarding the district cost factors. And what it specifically does, in the first year, the district cost factor is 50% of the ICER study, and then that remaining 50% is spread out over the next 4 years, so 12.5% a year for the next 4 years. So that addresses the district cost factor equity issue that we've been so concerned about in the last few years here. And the final thing that this funding formula, this funding bill does, Mr. Chairman, is to increase the BSA, the base student account, by $100 in each of the next 3 years. In 09, it would be $5,480. In 10, $5,580, and in 11, $5,680. So it increases $100 per student. That's really what the bill accomplishes, Mr. Chairman, and we're glad to try to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Any questions for Senator Stevens? Thank you, Senator Stevens, for the opportunity of presenting this bill. So, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is transportation, that component, part of the bill?
You know, that's an issue that that is very important, but it was not dealt with by the in any major way by the task force. There was acknowledgement that this was a big issue, that there are a lot of problems in people transportation and funding people transportation, but we simply did not have the time this summer to get into that in a very extensive way. But I think you'll find that it is a part of the House a bill that will be coming over to you shortly, that's now in House Finance. And that's right, isn't it, Tim? Could you explain? Yes.
We do have Amendment Number 1 coming that will address that.
Okay, good.
Might not hurt to explain what it is while the subject matter's up and people are listening.
Okay, could we, just very briefly, actually, Tim, would you
sure.
explain that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. You should find in your packet there is an amendment available that was adopted on the House side. And just as a correction, the House version is currently in House rules. Expected to be calendared soon. Also, before we go any further, I want to make sure Senator Stevens' BlackBerry is turned off. The last time we were before you, it rang and it cost us dearly.
Recording stopped.
Thank God for staff.
It's my understanding that the task force last year wanted to address the pupil transportation recalibration, but they didn't have...
This meeting is now over. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for your time. We'll see you next week.
go ahead and continue talking about the pupil transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was a priority of the task force. It's my understanding it was the priority of theirs to address the pupil transportation recalibrations. But at the time that they concluded their business, the contracts for pupil transfer were not entirely completed in their negotiations. So they were intentionally waiting to get the actual figures for calendar year, fiscal year 2007, and they are available at this time. Those numbers are reflected in the amendment that we have available for you. And it also proposes to adjust those figures in the future by the inflationary index of Anchorage.
We have any other questions? Thank you for your presentation. We have two fiscal notes. One's for $161,800 for the Alaska Challenge Youth Academy, and then $112 million for K-12. We could take up amendment number one if we had a motion. The committee so desires. Amendment number one being student transportation.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Amendment number one has been moved. No object for explanation. Amendment number one would adjust the pupil transportation costs as reflected. They're individually listed across the state. We have any objections? I'll remove my objection. Do we have any further objection?
No.
We have objection from Senator Huggins. Please speak your objection.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm just looking down the categories. I'd be interested in see the how we computed this, because I know the district, Matsu in this case, looks like it loses around $500,000, which appears to be very aberrational in relationship to its counterpart districts.
Mr. Eddie Jeans, if you can come forward, please. Eddie Jeans, not Jeans.
Jeans. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Through the chair, Senator Huggins, the grant amounts for the pupil transportation were recalibrated based on the FY07 actual student or actual pupil transportation cost. When the contracts were renegotiated in 06 or put out to bid in 06, the cost of those contracts in Matsu actually went down. And so there's a surplus of revenue over expenditures in their 07 financial statement. And so what we did with the recalibration was took actual costs for all school districts in FY07. Because where this legislation deals with FY08, or 09, excuse me, we adjusted that for inflation for 08 because all those contracts have the Anchorage CPI built into their contract. And then the legislation also suggests that you adjust the pupil transportation amounts by the Anchorage CPI for 010 and 011, at which time all those contracts will be at the end of their five-year period.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Eddie, this is reflective of a contract that's in place, and there's a savings to be had, but we won't see a deficit because it's a binding contract at this point in time. Is that accurate?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I can't guarantee there won't be a deficit because the grant program is tied to student enrollment. So if the enrollment goes up, they're going to get more money through the grant program. If it goes down, they are going to get less money through the grant program. But it's been recalibrated based on actual cost in FY07, which was the first year of the five-year contract.
So assuming steady state student enrollment, then this should be adequate based on the contract that's in place for this school year, for the school year that we're talking about, 09.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that's correct as long as the districts don't add routes. If they were to add additional routes, without any change in student population, then obviously their contracts will go up and that would not be adjusted for. It's based on the level of service they were providing in FY07.
Yeah. Right, Mr. Chairman, just as a comment, I mean, I fully subscribe to protecting districts that have declining enrollment, but for those that have increasing enrollment and you have to add bus routes and different new schools and things of that nature, I mean, I think going forward, we have to keep in mind what that impact might be and not just let it be an aberrational thing that's out there that the school district loses control. And I know in Mat-Su, which is, has a huge transportation area, it can be a sizable amount of money. And I just want to make sure that we have a mechanism to address that as new schools come online, which I'm anticipating will be the case. Thank you, and I remove my objections.
We have any further objection to amendment number one? Seeing no further objections to amendment number one will be adopted. We are going to go on to the off-nets and online participants of the meeting, and then we'll come back and take some testimony from the audience. But we do have probably about 10 people or so, nine on the list, so it'll take us a little bit. But with that, I'd like to go to Homer. What I'd like to do is try to keep the people to roughly 2 minutes. Please speak to the bill so we could work through the list and give everybody adequate time. And if you're going to repeat a lot of the previous testimony, please do it in an abbreviated format. It would be appreciated. And I'd like to start with Rachel Livingston of Homer. You can identify yourself, please, and who you represent and speak to the bill.
Hi, my name is Rachel Livingston, and I have children at Fireweed Academy, the charter school. And I thank you all for being there and working on this Bill 240. I just want to tell you, I can't tell you how important it is, how critical it is to have higher base student allocation funding. I ask that you please, please take great care of our children's education. This is the most important duty of the state to a promising future for Alaskans and Alaska, as I'm sure you all know, is to take care of our children, and we need more money to make this work. And I also ask that you please consider the extra transportation funding, as this is also extremely important. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Go to the next participant in Homer, Liz Downing, please.
Good morning, Senator Stedman. This is Liz Downing. I'm Vice President of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District School Board. And I can't thank you all enough for creating the Joint Legislative Education Funding Task Force under the leadership of Representative Hawker. They thoroughly reviewed education funding issues and developed the bills we have before us today. I enjoyed meeting with many of you in person earlier this week and reiterate my support for HB 273 and SB 240, municipal revenue sharing, and the retirement unfunded liability. I would also like to express my support for the Consortium for Digital Learning and the creation of standing committees on education in both the House and the Senate. In regard to AASB's support for a $200 increase in the BSA, this is not a case of let's ask for it and see if we get it. The Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is a good steward of our funding, and we request the higher funding level because we truly need it. We shared with you our vision of where we are going by focusing not on replacing what we've lost in the past, but focusing on what we truly need through programmatic staffing. We are $3 million short of implementing these initiatives at the $200 over base student allocation level, even further at the $100 level. I believe we need this funding to provide a quality education for our kids, and I want to again express my gratitude to Senator Stevens and all those who served on the Joint Task Force, and for you for doing what is best for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll go on to Kiki Abrahamson from Homer.
Thank you, Chairman Stedman. My name is Kiki Abrahamson. I'm a teacher at Fireweed Academy. I am here at the LIO for the sixth time with six of my fifth graders. We're very close, and they're learning about real action and how a bill becomes a law. I, too, want to thank you for all the support you've given for education. I know this is a tough decision when you're figuring out the whole state and the whole picture. I would like to also encourage you to increase the base student allocation to the $200 level, as the governor has recommended. As a small charter school, we've been underfunded by more than $2,000 per student for 11 years. And just so you can understand how much this means to us, the transportation charges that we're faced as a small school is the equivalent of taking 40 students to the Challenger Center. We're fortunate that we have parents and students that are really willing to make up so we can continue to take these kinds of field trips, but it really, really makes a difference. And so we want to appreciate everything that you can do to increase funding for schools, not only for our school, but for students all over the state. Thank you very much for providing myself and my students with this wonderful opportunity.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. We're now going to go to Fairbanks and Lisa Hadjuvic. You might want to help me pronounce your last name.
Leslie Hajdukovic. Thank you, Senator Stedman. Like I said, Leslie Hajdukovic, I'm president of the Fairbanks School Board. And on behalf of the Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board and the students of our district, I want to thank you for your continued support. As a lifelong Alaskan, I can tell you that I'm proud of the fact that I was born, raised, and educated in this great state, and that I'm able to live and raise a family here. For that reason, among others, I consider education of our youth a top priority and will continue to advocate for such. Unfortunately, our board wasn't able to participate in this past weekend's school board event in Juneau, and we wanted to make a contribution to this committee's deliberations. We are in support of the Joint Legislative Education Funding Task Force recommendations. We believe that it is important for us and for all districts in our state that these recommendations remain intact. We appreciate the support the task force has given to districts for adequate funding of the costs associated with our intensive needs students. We also appreciate the attention this committee has given to the increased cost of transporting students. An important piece of the task force recommendation is the base student allocation, of which was recommended a minimum of $100 per year. The concept of a known increase in education funding each year allows for better planning and more exploration of best practices in the education of our youth, and for this we are grateful. We would encourage you to elevate that increase to $200 per year in order to continue the important programs that we have started and hope to continue, such as math improvement, technology plan, dropout prevention, and secondary education review, as well as teacher recruitment and elevated energy costs. This increase to the BSA is very important. I thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your testimony. We're now going to go to Wrangell and have Mr. Woody Wilson.
Thank you, Chairman Stedman. This is Woody Wilson. I'm superintendent of schools in Wrangell, Alaska. And for the record, I'm also Representative Wilson's husband. I would like to thank especially the task force members this summer for their hard in dealing with some historically difficult issues and sometimes contentious issues. And I thought they did it in a very statesmanlike manner, and we certainly appreciate all that difficult work. I agree with most everything that's been said, so I'll try not to repeat things. I would like to just focus on a couple of things. The transportation issue, we certainly appreciate that you're dealing with that, but in Wrangell's situation, it will be helpful, but our problem is that we are negotiating a contract this year, as probably are about, I'm going to guess, 20% of the school districts in this state. So what that means is that this bill will calculate, as I understand it, the transportation needs based on the 07 actuals, when in fact what will happen in Wrangell is that our contract will undoubtedly increase because it's being renegotiated. I can't tell you what that is yet because we don't have the RFPs back. But it will certainly increase, and then I will be reimbursed based on the actuals from 2007, the district will. The same thing will happen to approximately another 20% of the school districts in the subsequent year, and another 20% and so on. So it's certainly going to be a help, but we will still likely be taking money from the instructional budget to pay for our transportation next year. So I'm not sure that's a very difficult concept for everybody to get a hold of, but we only negotiate contracts every 5 years in school districts. So I just wanted to point that out. I don't know if there's a way to fix that and equalize it for districts that negotiate on the off years, but that will be a situation that we'll still have to contend with. And problematically, a lot of legislators will probably say, well, yes, but we just dealt with that last year. So I just point that out. The other thing that I'd like to comment on, others have commented as well, the bill, as I understand it, will not have any student improvement grants, so those in essence go away. I'm all right with that. But when we take the student improvement grants away and add $100 in, that doesn't really provide much of an increase for districts like Wrangell. Our area cost differential is at an 8 this year. That's what we got last year. So by and large, we're going to have the same budget this coming year that we had last year from a revenue perspective. Of course, our energy costs have significantly increased and our salaries have gone up, our insurance has gone up, so we'll have to make significant cuts in this coming school year. It's going to be a very difficult situation. I know, and I've been looking at my emails in recent days, and I know that there are a large number of school districts across the state in the same predicament. One thing that would help would be if the base student allocation increase, at least for next year, could be at 200. That would be a great help, and I would hope that you could consider that. And with that, I will sign off. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Superintendent Wilson. We are going to now go to Joe Banghart. If you could identify yourself, please, and speak to the bill.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Stedman. Joe Banghart, superintendent of the Iditarod Area School District, and we're live in one of our high school classes at the Anoka River School at Shagluck. We appreciate and echo the same sentiments from all other testifiers this morning about the collaboration and cooperation of everyone in this process, and I say thank you to everyone there for doing this. But we are impacted in a way that is causing great struggle for our board. And the bill does address two of the areas, the step-down funding, because we continue to lose our student population as people move, and we appreciate that in the bill. But the BSA of $100, when we look at energy, and I am pleased that word is finally starting to come to the surface, it is driving everything. When we look at our budget and we continue to lose students and the energy cost continues to climb, and I've sent you some handouts that you can look over, we are finding that it's not adequate. We're going to have to close more schools, and our board is struggling with how to keep up with this pace. 30% of our entire district budget is going in the area of maintenance, which includes the high energy cost. Energy, it seems, is driving so much of what we do. And we would welcome the opportunity to work with and receive advice and counsel from anyone on how we could address this, not only as a district, but as a state, to help our schools. So the struggle for us with the BSA of 100, and even at 200, the majority after all the adjustments of the money that we will receive, and again, we are appreciative of that money, will go to pick up the difference in energy cost, and very, very little will go directly in the classroom. And that's sad, and I hate to report that, but how else can we resolve the issue of energy? So please consider the BSA of 200 and helping us and others deal with the energy issue, not on the long term. We have lots of ideas on the long term, but within the next 1 to 3 years, or we're going to have to close some doors in the Iditarod Area School District. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Superintendent Banghart, for your testimony, and it is appreciated that the students are watching the Senate Finance Committee and work as we try to come to a compromise and improve the funding and therefore improve the education of the kids coming, the young Alaskans coming behind them. Hopefully they'll be able to participate a little bit here too with the increases. We're now going to go to, we're going to go back to Kenai, so out in the Kenai area. Melanie Douglas, if you can please identify yourself and who you represent, and we want to see if you have the same support as the previous group from the Borough School District.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Melody Douglas, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and I appreciate the time on this important topic today. And I just want to commend the task force for the work over the summer. I had the opportunity to attend those sessions and to testify before the members of that committee, and am very appreciative of the outcome of that work, which is in the Senate Bill 240 with the addition of the transportation adjustment. I just want to make a couple of quick remarks relative to the Kenai having been responsive to student needs in the past, and we have also been extremely responsible to the additional funding that we've received over the years, as demonstrated by our AYP status, having made AYP at the district level. And I would also like to note, for those who may not know, the Kenai has actually successfully closed schools in the district, and that topic is still very much on the forefront in our public, particularly coming through our budget process this year for FY09. I would like to encourage the establishment of a separate committee for education. I know that there is legislation forward on the House side for that, and would certainly hope that the Senate would follow suit. Educational topics are critical, and I think that the current committees that they're sitting in, all those topics addressed by HESS's, all deserve their own attention, if you will. I would like to just echo Mr. Wilson's comments on what's actually happening in funding for next year with the movement from the ICER outside the formula this year and the supplemental grant all moving into the formula. I understand that that funding is being used to help fund the proposal for FY09 particularly. But I think the important part here is for everyone to understand that having things like the a step down for declining enrollment, special needs, the district cost factor, and the BSA, and then with the pupil transportation added, are all significant movement for educational funding. And we're appreciative of that, but The most critical piece, in my opinion, here is to get this legislation into statute. We will actually have a go-forward plan that school districts can work with. We can plan and we can remove the 8 or 10 months a year that is spent on budgeting issues by most of, certainly the larger districts, and I suspect all districts throughout the state. So, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the work of the committee and look forward to following this legislation through the session. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. LaDawn Drews, please, of Kenai.
Hi, this is LaDawn Drews. My current position on the Kenai is the president of the Kenai Peninsula Education Association. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. I would support what Melody Douglas, our chief financial officer, just said on 2 points, particularly a separate committee for education and also getting these this bill into statute. It's very important to the Kenai that the work of the task force is implemented fully, and the Education Association on the Kenai does still support the governor's proposal of $200 to the base student allocation. I know for some of you that may sound greedy, but on the Kenai, we have made in the past several years some very drastic cuts to our educational program here, yet continue to do an outstanding job educating our students. Let me speak specifically to those cuts. Last year, I was a half-time counselor in one of our largest high schools on the Kenai. I was a half-time counselor because I was also a half-time librarian. We no longer have any full-time librarians in this district. They're all half-time to some degree. Half-time counselor at a school of almost 600 students, and there was only one other full-time counselor. So our counseling ratio at the high school level is now 1 to 350 or pushing 400. The national standard is suggested of a 1 to 250 ratio. We have middle school counselors that are at the same ratio, and we do not have any elementary school counselors in our building. Our district proposal is a programmatic staffing, and when you look at it, if you're not familiar with the cuts that we've made, most people would say, well, that's what a school should look like. That's what districts should be doing. But for us, it's kind of a new and inventive thing because it's cuts we've made or instituting things like elementary counselors and intervention specialists into our building. This is going to require additional funding. The $100 added to the base student allocation would pretty much just keep us at a status quo level with still some cuts because of a slight declining enrollment. I would also like to point to Superintendent Como's written testimony on this particular issue and the support that she gives for the area cost differential. She states that even though the Anchorage may not benefit directly from an increase, we believe it's the right thing to do for Alaska districts and students. It definitely costs more to educate students in districts outside of Anchorage. I appreciate that recognition, and I would highly support and ask that all legislators and senators in the larger districts look very closely at the Kenai and the cuts we have had to make over the last several years to keep going here in this district, and that asking for the $200 in the base student allocation is not greed on our part. Thank you very much for your hard work.
Thank you for your testimony. We're going to go now to the Mat-Su. Annie Kilkenny.
Good morning, thank you. My name is Ann Kilkenny. I'm a parent in the Mat-Su School District. I want to thank you for the work that you did with the Joint Legislative Education Task Force. And I also want to thank you for the support that you've given education in the last decade. In spite of that support, however, my son, who's a junior in high school, has been on a sinking ship. Each year, something has been cut or lost. There's a long litany, and I won't go through it all, of what's been lost in the Mat-Su School District. I'm most grateful for the proposals, and I'm very grateful, too, for the fact that you're addressing these issues early on in the session. But $100 increase in the BSA is not enough. I recognize that there's a very delicate balance here in this bill and in the task force recommendations. And so I encourage you to consider the idea of advancing this bill to the year two, to year, fiscal year 2010. This would increase the BSA to $200 this year only. It would increase intensive needs funding to 11 times the BSA and ICER at 62.5%. It would cost an additional $56.5 million, but we can afford it. It would make a difference in the classrooms in the Mat-Su School District. I'm sitting on the budget committee for the high schools, and I'm privy to information that the school board members don't even have yet. It will be presented to them tomorrow. But at an improved BSA and an advanced schedule of funding going to year two, we would be able to do things like hire 3 extra teachers at Palmer High, one who would teach welding, and have a full drama program. They would hire a in-school suspension supervisor and reduce pupil-teacher ratio to 24-1. At Colony High, they would be able to institute a second freshman academy. This is proven to help prevent dropouts. At the Career and Tech High School, they would hire another teacher to teach classes targeted to the needs of students not passing the graduation qualifying exam. At Brashell High, the alternative school, they would hire a voc tech teacher, and they would hire a counselor. They would hire an assistant principal because they have a 12-hour school day going there, and it's just too much for one person to be there continuously. I urge you to consider this suggestion to advance this bill to fiscal year 2010 and implement it at that rate, and I thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. That concludes our LIO and our off-net. I'd like to have Senator Stevens come forward. And just as a kind of a side note of the call-in testimony, if you could kind of give us some parameters on the total scope of the package and dollars beyond just this year, I think it would be very interesting for the people at home.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think first we need to recognize that these four issues suggested by the task force, just as they are with no changes, will result in $252 million new dollars into education, into K-12. $252 million, that's new money, that's increased money, that's $250 million. So this should not be taken lightly. It's extremely important. I guess my concern, Mr. Chairman, politics is the art of the possible, and I think we need to have our eyes wide open as we enter into this. When we finished with the task force in the summer, everyone was supportive of what we had done. We had addressed the four biggest issues facing education, and the fifth being in pupil transportation, but we had addressed those four issues. We had absolute support from everyone that I could tell. School districts thought it was a wonderful solution. And remember, we addressed all four of those issues, the step down for decreasing enrollment, the intensive services, the district cost factors, and $100 in the BSA. I am very concerned, Mr. Chairman, of I appreciate, as a former school board president, that several people have said we need to increase this, we need to double this to $200. Again, the art of the possible is what politics is all about. My fear is that everything falls down. If we go to $200, I don't think, personally, there's the votes in the House and the Senate to pass that. And if that happens, then we lose everything. We lose all of the improvements we have made in those other three areas, in the step down, in the intensive service, and the district cost factor. So, Mr. Chairman, I, as much as I appreciate what everyone said, I know everyone who's spoken is truly dedicated to education, but realize that this is the biggest package we have ever faced. $252 million new money to education. Someone testified to us earlier at the Special Committee on Education that it was the biggest thing since Molly Hooch. That may very well be true. Mr. Chairman, I'll just leave you this one thought. I know it's an old saying, but a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. I think we need to accept that this is achievable, what we have before us, these four issues, including the $100 increase. I'm just afraid if we take that last step and try to grasp that extra $100 that we might lose everything. So my comment, I guess, Mr. Chairman, is please be cautious, as I know you will, how we approach any change to the recommendations of the Legislative Joint Funding Task Force. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. that, we're going to bring up, looks like Peggy Cohn. She in the room? Juneau School District. If you could please introduce yourself and who you represent. Speak to the bill.
Chairman Stedman, committee members, I'm Peggy Cowan, Superintendent of Schools for the Juneau School District, and I'm here today to testify on behalf of the Juneau School District in support of Senate Bill 240 as a comprehensive package that addresses many of the needs and changes in the funding formula. I was slashing my testimony, sitting back and listening, so I'll try to hit the high points and not repeat from other folks who testified from remote areas. I was able to attend and testify this summer and observe, and again, the one thing I would like to repeat is how impressed I was with the thoughtful deliberations of the Joint Education Legislative Task Force. This bill recognizes the high cost of providing special education for intensive students, as has been mentioned. Juneau has a large number and a large proportion, almost 3% of our students designated to receive services as intensive needs special education students. The state has substantiated these numbers through annual reviews, and the cost of providing for these students is that are legally obligated and that the students need is a huge obligation. The current costs, because the factor is so much lower than the actual costs, ends up reducing the amount of funds available for the regular education students in the Juneau School District. The district realizes that the cost of a one-year adjustment to try to get to actuals it would be huge, and so supports the phase-in as to a multiplier that more closely reflects these costs. The bill's passage is important that it recognizes the cost differential. Currently, Juneau School District is at 0.5% in statute, and that the adjustment for the ICER study would be 14.5%, which more closely reflects the differences in the cost of providing services here. The Juneau School District Board of Education does support a $200 increase to the BSA along with the comprehensive package. I'd like to just echo and thank Mr. Wilson from Wrangell. Juneau School District is also negotiating a contract this year. And so, though we certainly support a recalibration, we think that adding the consumer price index, as the contracts do, is prudent. This year we're spending about $500,000, $500,000 out of the operating fund that could be used for student education to transfer into the transportation fund. So the calibration is needed, but with our negotiations, we don't anticipate that the recalibration will totally offset that transfer from the operating set fund. And the one other thing that I would like to reiterate is that any of our planning and all of our planning and all of our expectations for this bill and the work of the Joint Education Legislative Task Force has been based on an assumption that the TERS and PERS approach from last year would be made permanent. And so I urge you to consider that as part of the package. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'd like to ask Colleen Jones.
Hi, I'm Colleen Jones, and I am here on behalf of the Great Alaska Schools. We are a nonpartisan statewide coalition that works to make a positive contribution to Alaska schools. I'm a parent of two children in the Juneau Schools District, one of the 53 school districts in the state of Alaska. I'm testifying on behalf of Great Alaska Schools to say that we are in support of the Joint Legislative Education Task Force recommendation on school funding that are included in this bill. It is so appropriate that the bill recognizes, firstly, that the increased cost of providing education in Alaska's unique regions of the state with the recommended phase-in of geographic cost factors. Secondly, the phase-in of increased funding for intensive needs students. This moves the funding towards the actual cost of serving these high-need students. And Finally, the adds $100 to the base student allocation. Forward funding of education is very important. School districts knowing in advance of any increases or decreases will allow districts to plan ahead. It avoids having to send pink slips to teachers and keeps trained teachers in our kids' schools. Great Alaska Schools urges consideration of an additional increase in the BSA or outside the formula, perhaps in learning opportunity grants. This would help keep pace with the increased costs, like the high energy costs that we keep hearing about this year. And so funds will reach the classrooms. Also, costs of increase or of items purchased every year by schools, unfortunately, are rising faster than inflation. Thank you to the task force for recognizing the changes needed in the foundation formula. A strong school system supports a healthy economy and encourages additional business investments. Thank you for attention and education funding, and please pass this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. John L. Cantor wants to come forward and tell us what a good job we did.
Absolutely. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of Senate Finance. For the record, my name is John Alcantara. I serve as Government Relations Director for the 13,000 Polk School employees of NEA Alaska. I do want to applaud the efforts of the task force this past summer. While folks were out fishing and golfing and enjoying an Alaska summer, yourself and your co-chair and Senator Stevens and other members were inside the Anchorage LIO giving full days. My recollection is about 8 to 10 full days of deliberation on education issues, K-12 issues. That was very valuable time, and I appreciated being able to be in the audience. Also mentioned the great job Chairman Hawker did in running that committee, and also Mr. Rose from the School Board Association as being the governor's appointee to the committee. And the time you guys spent on K-12 education over the summer has produced a very good product. But it probably won't come as any shock that NEA Alaska supports a $200 increase to the base student allocation. I appreciate the delicate balance of what's happening in Senate Bill 240 and the other companion piece that's now in House rules. But I think it is important to read into the record a second paragraph of the fiscal note. The legislature funded 50% of ICER in FY08 outside the formula for approximately $50 million and the school improvement grant for approximately $20 million. If the $70 million provided in FY08 is taken into consideration, then the actual increase in FY09 over FY08 is approximately $42 million. It's important to point out that the real increase in new money for FY09, and it would go into statute, and it's a beautiful thing, with a $100 base is about $42 million. And I'm sure Mr. Jeans can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you increase the base by another $100, you'll be putting in about another $22 million into K-12 education for a real new money increase in FY09 of approximately $64 million. I appreciate Senator Stevens' comments of the overall increase over the life of this plan, but I would say you need to extract out $70 million that's already in the money for school districts this year, as I think Superintendent Wilson and some others alluded to. There are great quality components to this plan, the intensive needs piece that increases, the area cost differential piece, and I think the wonder and the beauty of this is we're here on February 15th, 32nd day of session in Senate Finance, hearing the bill on K-12 education, knowing the companion piece has already moved out of House Finance about a third of the way through this first ever 90-day session. So that is great progress, and I just say, the time is right, we have the will, we have the bill, and we have the resources to really make a difference in K-12 funding and to fund K-12 by March 1st. I appreciate all your efforts for everybody here, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're gonna have the last person to come forward here in testimony today, Mr. Carl Rose. Mr. Rose was instrumental in the committee work over the summer working with this issue, and I thought it would be appropriate for him to close the public testimony. And if, Mr. Rose, if you could identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. And indeed, it was an honor to serve on the task force this summer. It was an experience that I have not experienced in my 21 years as Executive Director of AASB. If I could take you back, because I understand it wouldn't do me any good to replow the ground that we've already talked about here, and this is expert testimony here. I think what we just witnessed is a broad awareness of the public of what we're dealing with in the area of K-12 education. If we could go back to last May, many of these issues were at play, but we ran out of time, and there wasn't a wide acceptance or understanding of what we were trying to do in the foundation formula. That was achieved over the summer through the task force. I want to take a broader look at what we're doing. As we left last May, there were three major issues at stake. One was the foundation formula, two was the unfunded liability, and three was revenue sharing. Those were referred to as the three-legged stool. Over the summer, we had a chance to work together to be able to hear from the public, and I believe members of the committee came away with a new awareness of public K-12 education, a new awareness that you just can't realize when you're reduced to 3 minutes or 5 minutes in public testimony. So I thought they did a real good job of listening to the public. We looked at the issues and we put them forward, and they've been enumerated many times. What I would like to share with you is our history is that we did a temporary fix in 2007 for 1 year and it went away. Last year in 2008, we put a cash equivalent of what the package would have been, something similar to this, one time and it went away. And if you look at statutes, the only reference we have for public K-12 education with regard to the foundation formula is 07. So I think the importance of the entire package being instituted into statutes is critically important as we move forward. AASB was just in town recently. We've resolved ourselves in support of this package. The package, it's critically important. We are resolved last November to ask for $200 in the base student allocation because of the language that said a minimum of 100. We also wanted to see the 3% or the 3 year step down. I'm sorry, the 3 year phase in of the base student allocation. However, we recognize that the importance of the overall package is critically important to us. So our members have been on the Hill, they've talked to you all, you understand where we're coming from, and you heard it again today. I understand the delicate nature of this bill, and we support the package. We think it's one of the legs of the three-legged stool, and we're looking at the overall impact to K-12 education. As you know, faced with unfunded liabilities being paid by a school district, we face bankruptcy, so we need Senate Bill 125. And the other thing is for revenue sharing, healthy communities equate to healthy schools. So we're in support of revenue sharing. I guess my last thought that I would leave you with is that you've done a lot of work in public. There's a lot of support for what you have done. And AASB has signed on to the overall package. You've heard the needs, and we make that humble request. But we understand that we're part of a bigger picture. We have reviewed the operating budget. We've looked at the capital budgets. And we understand that there are large rocks at play here. So we thank you for your work and your consideration. And if there are any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your work over the summer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We'll bring forward Mr. Eddie Jeans. He's got some closing comments, and then we'll wrap it up. I assume you're in support of this bill, Mr. Jeans, and the administration.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely, with one small modification. Mr. Chairman, first, before I get into my testimony, I wanted to say it was really interesting hearing that there were children out there listening to the testimony today. And in fact, today was such a big day for me. I just did a presentation before the House subcommittee, Finance Subcommittee on Education, on the Moore case. And then having this one come up today before the Finance Committee, I brought my daughter with me today. Her name is Jordan Jeans. Would you please stand up? Because I wanted her to understand what her dad really does and how nice these people are that sit around the table and engage with her father throughout the legislative session. Mr. Chairman, of course the administration is very supportive of the work that the Education Funding Task Force did this summer. I had staff there throughout the summer, as you well know, and I was there myself providing technical assistance to the task force. Mr. Chairman, when the governor was preparing her budget in the fall, Commissioner Thompson and myself met with the governor, and the governor asked us, what are we going to support in terms of funding for education? I said, Governor, the task force did some really good work this summer. It's a good proposal. And when you look at the recommendations, they even suggest that there's early funding. And that's really a good step in the right direction, early funding. We've talked about it for years and years around this building. But I said, Governor, the one thing that I think you could do to take this thing a step forward is propose an increase in the base student allocation of $100 and provide forward funding to allow school districts to know the level of funding that they're going to be receiving for the next 3 years, to allow municipalities to know what school districts are going to receive so they can plan and budget accordingly, and Governor, so you can build your education budget knowing what the state intends to put into that budget. As mentioned earlier, an increase of $100 would be approximately $22 million a year. So the governor's proposal is roughly $66 million above what the task force recommended. The governor understands the delicate balance that was reached with the task force recommendations, and that's why she didn't recommend any other changes, because we know that there was compromise there, and we understand that and appreciate it. But I have to tell you, Mr. Chairman, you were in the room this summer when the task force met, and I recall hearing over and over from the chairman that this is a proposal, this is the starting point, and we have the whole legislative process to go through to achieve a funding package. And right out of the chute, everybody's being told how delicate this package is. Mr. Chairman, when we left that room up in Anchorage, I saw a lot of consensus around the room and support for that package, and to portray it as delicate as it's being portrayed really surprises me, because we really do have an opportunity to move forward with true forward funding for public schools in the state of Alaska. And so, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the work that the task force has done. We support the bill. We'd like to see an increase in the BSA from 100 to 200 for 3 years.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We recognize that there's still items that were not included in the task force conclusions that will be addressed sometime in the future. You know, that this isn't the silver bullet to solve all problems, but it does go a long ways. And a lot of these bigger, more complicated issues are taken over several steps. So this is definitely a move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
With that concludes the testimony on the bill today. We're going to go ahead and set Senate Bill 240 aside for further work and analysis. I just got a few announcements to make before everybody runs off. Tomorrow's meeting has been canceled. There will be no Finance Committee meeting tomorrow. Monday, there will be no meeting also, but don't get too enthusiastic, because on Tuesday we have four bills up, Senate Bill 101, Guardianship and Conservators, Senate Bill 158, Shirley Dementoff Memorial Bridge, Senate Bill 231, Low-Income Housing, dealing with homeless, and then the fourth one, Senate Bill 233, Teachers and Healthcare Professionals Housing Loans. We have a busy schedule next week, starting on Tuesday at the Finance Committee. We'll be hearing a multitude of bills. And we also have, of course, bills previously heard on those scheduled days. Also, as a reminder, currently going on, and the Senate majority has an open caucus. It started at 10 o'clock, and unfortunately, the Finance Committee does the Finance Committee work first, so I recognize that this has been underway since 10. But it started at 10 o'clock in the Butrovich room, and the topic is cyber crime, and I encourage Senate majority members to attend, and we're going to take a brief at ease.
You can't miss a resource.
Tomorrow, House Finance.
No, I'll be.
Boys will probably want to hear this one. Tomorrow, from 12 to 3, there'll be staff briefings on the capital budget and House Finance. So, again, that's 12 to 3, House Finance.
Joint?
Process is going to start to be put together in a quicker pace now that the administration has finished submitting their recommended capital budget. With that, meeting is adjourned.